Governor Scott Walker says if he is reelected this fall, he will call for an expansion of the state's statewide school voucher program. Meanwhile, his Democratic challenger, Mary Burke, says she would eliminate the new statewide program, which offers taxpayer-funded vouchers to parents to send their children to private schools. Which leads us to today's big question. Do you think Wisconsin's statewide voucher school program should be expanded, eliminated, or left the way it is? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, September 10th. We have with us two guests with different perspectives on today's big question, and we welcome your perspective too. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guests. We have with us Jim Bender, the president of School Choice Wisconsin, which supports school vouchers, charter schools, and public-private partnerships. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And also with us is Betsy Kippers, the president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council. She is a physical education teacher in Racine. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thanks to both of you for being here. Jim Bender, let's start with you. Tell us the status of the school choice program, the school voucher program as it stands.
As it stands today, there are really three programs. The Milwaukee program has 108 schools and roughly 26,000 kids. That program has been in existence for a little more than 20 years. It was the first program in the country. Now they've been spread to multiple different states, but that was the first program in the country. It does not have an enrollment cap on it, and it grows roughly 1,000 kids a year, kind of depending on how many seats open up. The Racine program was created two budget cycles ago and had caps of 250, then 500, and then the caps were removed. So for this academic year, there are no more caps on the Racine program, and that means that the students must live in the Racine Unified School District to be eligible. Just like in Milwaukee, you must reside, the school district and the city are the same boundary, to be eligible for the program. There's about 2,000 kids in the Racine program. Then we have a statewide program, or the official name is the Wisconsin Parental Choice Program, which basically encompasses the residents of the rest of the state. That program was started in the last budget. There's no geographic limitation to it, but it was capped in the 2013-14 school year of 500 students. The 25 schools out of the roughly 50 that applied with the most applications got in. The same thing applied the second year. There's 1,000 students in this current academic year, and there'll be a total of 31 total schools for the statewide program. So there's three programs, Milwaukee, Racine, and then what's called now the Wisconsin Parental Choice Program, or the statewide program.
And Governor Walker last week during some comments at a private school in Milwaukee said that he would like to see the enrollment expanded statewide. Why would that be a good idea?
Well, it'd be a good idea for a number of reasons. He was at, Governor Walker was at a new early childhood center, St. Marcus, which literally opened a month ago. And in that neighborhood in Milwaukee, when St. Marcus opens its door from three-year-olds to six-year-olds, they had 100 spots to fill, which they did in a matter of minutes. And once their waiting list that same day eclipsed more than 100 students, they basically had to tell the neighborhood folks, we're not going to be able to accommodate any more than this. We're full. That shows a real strong desire for the educational opportunities that St. Marcus is providing, and I think that's true across the state. Right now, you've got schools in La Crosse, in Kenosha, in Beloit. There's one here in Dane County. The Fox Valley has a number of those schools up in Green Bay and Appleton. Marshfield. There's schools all over that are providing very unique and quality educational opportunities, and there are parents from one end of the state to the other that want access to this program. We have seen time and time again when seats are made open, there are waiting lists at all the schools. And the governor, I think, is just reacting to not only the recent polling that's come out that shows very strong support for the program, but when he's talking to parents, he knows that when opportunities arise, there are parents that are applying for this, the spots.
Well, let's give Betsy Kippers the floor now. Why is it a bad idea to expand school choice?
Well, first of all, I think that the worst thing about the voucher program is that we now have two separate and unequal publicly funded school systems. And we have to make it our highest priority to educate all of our students, to improve all of our schools, and give every student, each and every student, good, strong educational opportunities. And when you're funding two separate and unequal education systems, that makes it very, very difficult. It feels like they're trying to dismantle public education. Mm-hmm. And abandoning public schools while handing this funding out to unaccountable schools is not acceptable. When you look at the expansion that Jim just mentioned, 3 out of 4 students who went into the expanded voucher program this past year, 3 out of 4 were already in those public schools. They didn't make a new choice. They now are just getting public funding to do that. And we need to be very careful that we talk about there's no choice. There is choice within the public schools, and there are some very excellent education opportunities in the public schools, and people forget to talk about those.
Well, but tell us why you say that that this is two separate and unequal systems in Wisconsin. What why is it unequal?
The number one issue is the accountability system for public schools versus voucher schools. They're not held to the same standards as public schools. Here's a few examples. When a student leaves a public school, they're automatically, by all the state reporting systems, considered a non-graduate, and that's reported out to everybody in the state. When they leave a voucher school, the voucher school determines how to indicate what that student did, if they're a graduate or not graduate. Voucher schools don't have to take part in the open meetings law, so they can spend money and hold it not accountable to the taxpayers, even though it's public money. They don't have open laws, which means they don't have to share with the media their budget, their graduation rates, their achievement data, their expulsion rates. All that information that is reported out on public schools is not mandated by voucher schools.
Yeah, let's get Jim Bender to respond to that. So the voucher schools are not as accountable as the public schools.
Yes, this is, I took notes during that section, and she hit the top five like I figured she would. I didn't know she'd get it all out in the first 2 minutes, but the top five. Let's just go down in order here. So you talk about funding two systems, and I agree with the Supreme Court in their ruling when they upheld the program and found it constitutional. And what they said is, yes, there is a constitutional requirement that Wisconsin have a system of public schools put in place. I'm a product of those public schools. My children attend public schools. And we are supportive of public schools and supportive of public school open enrollment. All those things are very positive things. They're good for Wisconsin. There's no doubt about that. But what the Supreme Court ruled is that the legislature, if they are creating programs up and above and in addition to that public school system, that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly constitutional. And that's what the voucher program is. It is not a system. There are no liabilities. It's basically a zero-sum game for the voucher schools. Their budgets go from year to year. They are audited every year, every penny, for every student, by an independent CPA, and then by the Department of Public Instruction. But there's no bonding available for students and for schools and private schools in the program. There's no legacy cost. I mean, if you take MPS, for example, and MPS shut down today and had no more students, they'd still have $1 billion in legacy costs that they would have to pay off. There's no burden to the taxpayer from a systemic standpoint for the unconnected private schools that are part of the voucher program.
Because we are coming up on a break, and we do have the hour, so we'll try to hit on all these points. But what about the specific point that they're not necessarily accountable, and that they're not they're not actually doing any better than public schools.
Well, I think that's wrong on two fronts. There is a great deal of accountability. In fact, of all of the programs in the country, all the different school choice programs in the country, Wisconsin's is rated as having the most accountable program. All of the dollars that are spent in the program, like I said, are audited twice a year. Every penny, every dollar for every student every year, audited and given by the DPI. All of the standardized test scores that are taken are made public. All of the students have to take the state exam. That is all part of how things work. When it comes to the point that she made on graduation rates and all those other things, we supported and was now passed. One of the things that gets in the weeds a bit here, the students that were in the voucher program were not issued a unique identifier by the Department of Public Instruction, and some of that demographic data was transferred in a different manner. There's no doubt about it that the data collection on the private schools was different than that in public schools. Now there will be some uniformity around key points moving forward, and the schools that are in the voucher program will be a part of the statewide report card. And that's something that we supported. We think the schools should be in a very public way showing the results and where they're heading. And now that is law. That is coming forward. So the statewide program and the expansion that be involved with it, all of those schools will be included in the statewide report card.
Yeah. So, Betsy, what's your response to Jim saying the voucher schools are accountable?
Well, he talks a lot about their accountability through an audit of their money. That might be happening, but what about true accountability to our students and our communities? And not just reporting through the same system to DPI, but what goes out in the media and what goes out publicly about how these voucher schools are doing? You know, talk to the families of Life Skills Academy in Milwaukee. They locked their doors earlier this year, and they walked off with $2 million of taxpayer funding over the previous years. The truth is, if you look at study after study after study, and you go through them all, the fact is voucher schools are not doing any better than public schools in the majority of cases. And when it comes to the new statewide expansion, those schools aren't doing even as well as our public schools. So there's a lot of studies out there that people can get through the Fiscal Bureau, the legislative bureaus, the DPI, that really don't show that the vouchers do schools are doing much better. And they do have to be held accountable, and they sure weren't able to get an accountability bill through in the last session.
We will get Jim Bender to respond to that after we take this short break, and we will continue to talk about whether or not Wisconsin should expand or eliminate its voucher school program, its statewide voucher school program. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Talking about this today because Governor Walker recently said that if he's reelected this fall, he will call for an expansion of the state's voucher school program. However, his Democratic challenger, Mary Burke, said she would work to eliminate the statewide voucher school program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Hello, world, hear the song that we're singing. Come on, get happy.
All right, I'm playing Get Happy because, as promised, I'm doing a happy dance in the studio right now. Actually, I'm just playing a happy song. I'm not doing a happy dance. Thank you to those of you who liked the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page this morning. We have surpassed 7,000 Facebook likes, and my challenge was to get to that 7,000 mark, and then I would do a happy dance, so that'll have to suffice. Thank you very much. You, too, can like the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and get regular updates on show topics and guests and participate in the discussions on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And you can post a comment there right now if you'd like to on whether or not you think Wisconsin should expand its statewide voucher school program. That's our big question today. Talking with two guests with differing views on that. Jim Bender says, yes, let's expand it. He is president of School Choice Wisconsin. And Betsy Kippers, who is the president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council, says, no, don't expand the voucher school program in Wisconsin. And we welcome your comments, too. Well, let me get you, Jim Bender, to respond to Betsy Kipper's points that voucher schools are not accountable to as statewide schools are.
Yeah, and so I think there's two points here, and I'll use somebody else's words. John Woody, Professor John Woody from University of Wisconsin-Madison, wrote an article and goes this way. At the request of the state of Wisconsin, we led a 5-year study of school choice in Milwaukee that ended last February. We found that school choice in Milwaukee has had a modest but clearly positive effect on student outcomes. First, students participating in the Milwaukee program graduated from high school and both enrolled and persisted in 4-year colleges at rates that were 4 to 7 points higher than an equally matched set of students in Milwaukee public schools. Now, that was a study conducted by the University of Arkansas that was put together by the state of Wisconsin that showed that there were clear outcomes. But let me get back to the accountability measure. I mean, I think parents understand they are the primary educators of their children. And when they're choosing these options, whether it be in a public school, a charter school, or a private school, our organization had a tendency to trust the parents' judgment first and foremost. We believe they will make the best decision on behalf of their children, whatever system they decide to go with. But I think the most relevant point here is in Madison, this came up lately, and since one of the candidates is actually on the Madison School Board, a few years ago, Colleen Kerr, in response to African-American graduation rates being below 50%, especially for African-American males, wanted to come up with an independent charter school. And at that time, it was going to be an all-boys, non-union, independent charter school in Madison. And candidate Mary Burke actually pledged $2.5 million for that non-union charter school. In the end, I think we all know that the Madison School Board shot it down. They didn't give that opportunity. Which is unfortunate because both Colleen Kerr and Mary Burke knew that parents wanted something dramatically different than what they were getting because the results that were coming out of the Madison School District were not satisfactory. Unfortunately, politics got in the way and that school never got started. But I think when you're talking about accountable and accountability, those are the types of things where you got to be careful just throwing a focus group word around. Because if you're not taking parents into consideration, you're not reacting to the way that parents want to have their children taught, then we end up in a situation like we did here in Madison, where a school that would have garnered a ton of support, if it not be for the politics of the school board, that stopped it from opening.
Betsy, what about that?
Basically, any school receiving taxpayer funding should be held to the same standards of accountability. So whether it's the school he's referring to and a different school in Madison or two in Milwaukee, the accountability standards are not the same. And they should be the same if they're getting funding from the public dollars.
Let's go to some phone calls. Sheila in Dodgeville is with us. Hi, Sheila.
Hello.
Go ahead, Sheila.
My comment is, I would only support increasing or expanding the voucher program if they went back and they reevaluated and refigured how they did the funding of public schools. Right now, there are a lot of rural public schools that are hurting a great deal, and I don't think the people in the rural areas are going to be benefiting from the expansion of this voucher program.
Thank you very much, Sheila. Let me get Betsy to start on that in terms of... Sheila says that public school funding, the system needs to be reworked, and then maybe she'd support this. Maybe you can talk a little bit as to whether you think this voucher program is hurting public schools in terms of funding.
Well, it's siphoning public school money off, but I do think we do need to look at an overall new funding system for our schools, and we have to put that money into our high needs schools for our special needs students, for our students living in high poverty. And I'll tell you, our rural schools are struggling, and we have to look at how do we fund our schools differently to make sure every student gets an equal opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Jim?
I think a couple numbers to keep in mind, and I'll put my former legislative staffer hat on for a minute here. Just to address the overall impact of the voucher programs in Wisconsin. Currently, under the current state budget, the voucher program is funded with 1.6% of the overall budget. K-12 education is nearly 40%. If you look at just the dollars, just the GPR dollars, which is the state, income and revenue, it's only little over 3% of the total education budget goes to the voucher program. It is a very small fiscal amount. When you look at what the state has put into Badger Care medical assistance over the last 6 years, that is billions and billions of dollars that have come out of the budget. So the impact on overall spending by the voucher program is a rounding error. It's not even there. But I think what the caller was referring to is a very legitimate point. It's also the most difficult one to fix in the legislature. What she's talking about is the distribution of money through public schools, and that depends on whether you have a high property value district or not. And so some of the rural districts are not getting some of the money potentially that they would in a different configuration. The problem is, and this isn't a partisan one, when you talk to legislators inside the Capitol, every time they turn the dials on that funding stream, they're going to have winners and losers inside their own district. So some district will get more, another district will get less, and they're very hesitant to touch that topic. So that's a little bit outside the voucher program discussion, but it's probably one that the legislature at some point would have to address.
We will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we will continue talking with Jim Bender, president of School Choice Wisconsin, who is in favor of expanding Wisconsin's statewide voucher school program, and Betsy Kippers, president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council, who is against an expansion of the program. And we welcome any questions or views that you might have, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. In today's big question, we are asking our guests and asking you, should Wisconsin expand its statewide voucher school program? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Wednesday, September 10th. Every Wednesday at this time, we pick an issue that's facing the state or nation and find two guests to discuss and debate it with you. And based on Governor Walker's recent comments, he said last week, if he's reelected, he will call for an expansion of the state's voucher school program, especially for low-income students, but potentially for students from middle-income families. His Democratic challenger, Mary Burke, says she would eliminate the new statewide program, which offers taxpayer-funded vouchers to parents to send their children to private, including religious schools. So we are asking in today's big question, do you think Wisconsin's statewide voucher school program should be expanded, should be eliminated, or left the way it is? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Well, let's go back to the phones. Tim in Toma is with us now. Hi, Tim.
Hi. Very good program.
Well, good. What is your view on this or question?
I actually would like to see it expanded. I have family in Milwaukee area. And from what I've seen, even with the poor families, when they can use the tax dollars that they pay in as a choice for their own children, it seems to really be working quite well in actual instances of families that we know. So I'd like to see it expanded. And bottom line, I see it as, from a political standpoint, a little bit hypocritical when the politicians, at least some of them, want to give the parents or the woman especially choice before birth, but not choice after birth.
Well, that's getting us into quite a different topic that I don't think we need to go to right now. However, it's working well, he says, with some family that he has in Milwaukee. Betsy, what's wrong with parents who are taxpayers using their taxpayer dollars to send their child to a private school?
Well, I think, first of all, there's a difference in how the state funding is used, so it's an unequal amount. But secondly, it's because every public school educates every student, and there is a difference in the voucher schools where they can turn students away. They don't provide a lot of education for special needs students. That's shown in the statistics. They do send students back to the public school if they're too challenging. So it is nice to have choice, I will admit that. And there are some voucher schools, just like there are many public schools, who are doing well. But the fact is we should not be funding two separate unequal systems. Mm-hmm. If they're going to take that money, it should all be equal.
Jim?
Three things. Her first three talking points were simply that. They were just talking points. They're not based in reality in any way, shape, or form. The law is very clear. The applications that go to private schools that go into the voucher program are administered under a lottery system. There is no picking and choosing of what students can get in and what students cannot. I will quote Alan Borsak, who has written on the Milwaukee program for decades. He says, one more point on student mobility. Critics of the voucher program have often said over the years that private schools kick out students and special education students after third Friday enrollment. And this is what when they talk about cycling students out in September, so they can foist those kids onto MPS while keeping the money that is allocated based on the enrollment count. That's a talking point you hear often. And as Alan Borsak says, I generally haven't written about this for one simple reason, a lack of facts to support the claim. I've said for years that if someone gave me reliable numbers, I'll write about it. No one has. I asked again about it now. Quote, it's true that students leave the voucher schools after Third Friday, but they also leave us after Third Friday, said Patricia Gill of MPS. We lose about as many students as we gain in terms of to and from to the voucher schools, which is true of the high mobility in Milwaukee. It's not indicative of the voucher program. It is indicative of the city of Milwaukee that there are students that bounce back and forth between the two sectors. And that's unfortunate because studies have shown that the students that bounce back and forth between the sectors don't do as well as ones that either start and stay in MPS or go back to MPS or stay in the program. But to say that there is some sort of systemic way that the Department of Public Instruction has never identified, again, it's a talking point. It's not based on reality. And when we talk about students with special needs, there has to be a clear understanding of how federal law and federal funding works. The students that have special needs that are in the private schools under the voucher program receive no additional federal funding. On occasion, in very rare instances, there are some services provided for students with very small special needs. But the way that the federal funding and the way that the IDEA system is set up is those funds don't go to private schools. On a percentage basis, are there lower percentage of students? Potentially slightly, but that's not at the choice of the private schools. They serve all the students that they can, and there are many students with special needs that get no extra funding within the private schools, and the private schools do what they always do, which is the best that they can given the conditions. But the kind of the talking point about cycling students out is just that. It's a talking point.
Well, let me follow up on another point that we didn't really get to in our first half hour, Jim Bender. Briefly, Betsy Kippers noted that a lot of the enrollment that occurred in the statewide voucher program were from parents who already had their children in private schools. So I guess what's the benefit of this?
Well, I suppose that there's two different things, and that's kind of set up with a straw man argument that the reason why we had this was to, to say that there are, you know, to give kids that are in a public school a different option. And I suppose that's part of the equation. But understand that the idea that somebody that was paying for a service before is now getting support from the government isn't a public policy position by most of the opponents. Let's look at recently here in Madison and Milwaukee. They went to giving free lunch and breakfast to all students. So even students that were paying for lunch before now have access to free lunch. There's not a public policy stance. If you look at healthcare, if you look at Obamacare, people that had health insurance before, it's not like the rule says that now because you're eligible, you're not going to get it because you had health insurance before. The idea that some of the students that were able to cobble their nickels together or be on a scholarship at some of these private schools would not be eligible for this program is not a public policy stance. I would say the solution to that is one that I'm not sure the opponents have thought out very well. Because the solution to that program, or to that supposed problem, is that you would only make this accessible to students in public school that want to transfer. And I can tell you that since the caps in both the first year and the second year were exceeded by the number of, there was 500 slots the first year, 500 new slots the second year, there were more than 500 public school students that applied for those spots. Just through the random lottery, they didn't get them. But if that's the solution that they want to have, that they want to give priority to public school students leaving the public schools and going to the private schools, I don't think I'd have a problem with that. I think if the caps are lifted off, I think that's a solution that they might not wish that they had.
Yeah, I thought the point was is that there wasn't a clamor from parents that they wanted to leave the public schools.
Well, I think there was. As I said, in both the first year and the second year, strictly looking at the number of public school parents that applied to get out of public schools into the program exceeded the cap in both the first year and the second year. So I think there is strong demand from inside both the public schools and the private school parents that want access to the program. We know from polling, we know from talking to parents, students that are in all different sectors of schools want options. Parents want to have, in every other facet of life, we give parents options.
Now,
education is the only one we don't.
Betsy, you want to follow up on that?
The only thing I can say is I've been in the schools talking to parents, talking to students, talking to teachers, is that we all want a high-quality education for our kids, and the kids all want a high-quality education. And they do want to have opportunities for a great education. That does not mean they have to go to a public school or that we have to, private school or that we have to expand the private voucher program to have high quality education in this state.
Well, and I don't necessarily pointedly disagree. I mean, clearly, I send my kids to a public school. But if you just look at some of the simple data, if you're here in Madison, and we'll go back to the Madison Prep, if you're an African-American minority student in Green Bay or in Madison, I mean, the graduation rates and the proficiency rates are far, I mean, they're some of the worst in the nation. And if you're not graduating half of your African-American students, but you don't allow, as Mary Burke, as I said before, she supported a non-union charter school here, which kind of makes some of her recent comments a little bit disingenuous, I think, because she was for parental options at one point, and now because she's a candidate for public office on one side of the aisle, she can't say that publicly because that doesn't fit the mold. So she has to say that she's against the statewide program. You know, that's unfortunate because I think before she got really heavily involved into politics, she understood that parental options were really positive, and she was willing to put her own personal money at stake to support options for parents, and now, unfortunately, that kind of been taken away from her.
Well, let me bring in a caller, Jeannie and Eau Claire, who specifically wanted to follow up on that Madison example. Jeannie?
Yeah, hi. There is a significant difference between a charter school and a private school, and I hope that the person from, I think, WEAC could please comment further on it. I think there's some oversight from the DPI and some of the charter schools or from the public school in the district from the best of my understanding.
Yeah, I thought she was going to say that Mary Burke was supporting what was going to be a charter school but not necessarily a private voucher school.
And I guess we'd have to ask her. I certainly don't speak for...
I mean, the Madison Prep was not going to be a private voucher school.
No, I don't think it was. But at that point, that wasn't an option. When she was taught, there wasn't a statewide program at the point that the only option that was in front of parents in Collin Care here in Madison was an independent, a non-instrumentality charter school. That was the only legal option that was available at the time, and clearly she sided with providing an independent option for parents at that time. That's my only point, is given the legal ramifications of where she was at that time, and she put her money behind a non-union plant, which I just think is interesting.
Betsy?
There are public charter schools throughout the state that are highly successful and do a very good job and are supported by Mary Burke and others. Charter schools are a positive event system in this state, and I support our public charters, and that's what they were trying to do.
Let's go next to Karen in Appleton. Hello, Karen.
Hi. I just wanted to make a note that if you take a look at the Milwaukee public school system that has had a voucher program for over 20 years now, and data actually shows once the voucher students were required to take the same tests, standardized tests that the public students were, and they factored in for socioeconomic status level in those testings, they showed that the charter school or the voucher program, actually those students performed slightly below the public school students. And so actually what's happening is, and I don't have statistics on it, but I know I've caught wind from a lot of parents in the Milwaukee public school system that are actually going back out of the voucher system back to the Milwaukee public schools just because of the negatives that they have found. And you know, just one, you know, we've talked about funding, and I'm trying to stick with the Milwaukee Public Schools on this, but the funding issue, and there are students.
And I'm sorry, because we don't have time to go into another funding issue because of our clock, and that is a big point. She, Karen points out that those studies, you mentioned that a professor said, hey, more of them go on to college, but they're not performing academically as well as the public school students in those tests.
I'm not sure exactly what she's referring to.
The test said that maybe they were going on to college, but the tests that...
Yeah, the standardized test scores, again, when you take a snapshot, a single snapshot of standardized test scores and compare a system, which is MPS, to 117 at that time unaffiliated schools, it's a little bit difficult to say, here's what's happening across the board. I think, as Betsy had said before, and I have said publicly and privately, we run the gamut inside those 117 schools. We have some very amazing schools, and we have some schools that aren't getting it done. I mean, an MPS has some amazing schools and some schools that aren't getting it done. I would also argue that when you look at standardized test scores that have been compared, where they're roughly the same, and again, you have to account for low-income student compared to low-income student. When you do that comparison, which is what the voucher program is made up of, then the students in the voucher program score slightly above MPS. But even across the board.
So what Karen said...
I don't think it's factually correct.
Okay.
But in any case, I would say this. Across the board in Milwaukee, whether it be MPS or the voucher program as a whole, on a programmatic level across the board, Milwaukee's just not getting it done. There is only a handful of schools in both the voucher and MPS that are really doing well. I mean, we talk about accountability and you talk about what's going on. I looked last night on... you know, the website. I can pick one school out of, we'll just pick Clark Street Elementary. It's an MPS school. It's got all the accountability measures that Betsy talks about. Any measure that DPI or MPS wants to put on it, they have it. They have zero proficiency in advanced students, and only 3% of the students are proficient in reading. And this is a public school, and I'm not trying to bash public schools, because we have schools in the voucher program that have basically the same type of numbers. But the accountability that she's talking about is no guarantee for success. When you have a public school that has 97% of its kids that don't read to grade level, there is no accountability there. And so I don't want to get this misnomer that there's somehow that the bureaucrats and the system will protect everybody. I think the point that the caller made, that there were parents that were pulling their kids out of the voucher program and putting them back in MPS, I don't have a problem with that, because it's the parents doing that. The parents have the option to do it, because there are plenty of parents that pull their kids out of MPS and put it in the voucher. As long as the kids are being served by the best school that can serve them, be it private or public, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. Betsy, you want to address that?
Yeah, basically, public schools serve every student. And, you know, just like you said, there's no guarantee for success in the public schools. There's no guarantee for success in the voucher schools either. And that parents need choice, but there is choice within the public school system, and we educate all children. And the big thing about the poverty kids going to the voucher schools, well, that's interesting, because we increased the threshold to up to over 300% of the federal poverty level for kids to be able to get into the voucher program. So if it's really to service the high-poverty kids, that's not what it's doing any longer. It's a mixed bag of who goes to the voucher schools.
Let me take our last break, and we'll finish off today's big question, talking about whether Wisconsin should expand its statewide voucher school program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In today's big question, we are talking with Jim Bender, president of School Choice Wisconsin, and Betsy Kippers, the president of WEAC, the Wisconsin Education Association Council, about whether or not Wisconsin should expand its statewide voucher school program. Let's take one more call. Cliff in Appleton. Hi, Cliff.
Good morning. I'm African-American and have a daughter in Appleton Public Schools, and she's done quite well on the standardized testing. I have issues with the fact that voucher schools don't have the same standards for hiring teachers as the public schools. Voucher schools can make their own rules as to who they hire, and there aren't the same standards as in public schools. So the early studies that compared voucher schools to public schools that found the voucher schools didn't do as well. That's not surprising to me. But I think the thing that just rubs me the wrong way is that the religious schools, they can teach creationism if they want. And I don't want my tax dollars going to religious schools, period.
Thanks, Cliff. Well, what about specifically, because we're so short on time, Jim Bender, private voucher schools don't have the same standards for hiring teachers?
Well, I think there are different protocols. There's not a requirement for a particular type of teacher to be taught other than a bachelor's degree by law, although most of the teachers, the vast majority of teachers, are certified teachers. But he's in Appleton. And so I think if you look at what is now the largest school in the statewide program, which is Xavier in Appleton, they don't have any particular prescribed type of teacher that they have to have. Yet, if my data is correct, Xavier has the highest ACT scores in the valley, and there is a huge demand to get. I mean, their waiting list is enormous. They had the most applications in the first year, the most applications in the second year, and in a school district like Appleton, which is large and has their own charter schools, there's a pretty good plethora of choices in Appleton. Xavier High School has the most applications from anywhere else in the state. So the people that are in his neighborhood, that are in Appleton, they think Xavier's a pretty good school, and there's a lot of them that want in there, regardless of what the definition of your type of teacher is. Again, there's no correlation. There's no guarantee here to set these inputs up for the schools. You got to look at the outputs and what's coming out and what parents want.
Yeah, and very briefly, Betsy, your reaction to Cliff's concern?
We believe every student should have a high-quality teacher in front of them. And we believe that those teachers should be certified and have gone through an extensive program, not just on content, but really on what it takes to help a child all the way through adulthood in development.
Let's only 30 seconds each for a closing statement, starting with Jim. What is it that you want to see happen to the statewide school voucher program? 30 seconds.
Yeah, so the statewide program now has a cap on in this academic year of 1,000 students. And we would like to see those enrollment caps removed, as they are in Milwaukee and Racine. And basically a consolidation. We really don't need three programs in the state of Wisconsin. We'd like to pick the best aspects of the Milwaukee program, the best aspects of the Racine program, and the best aspects of the statewide program, and provide options for all parents across the state of Wisconsin to find the best school that they can find for their student, whether that be public, charter, or private.
And briefly, very, very briefly, you want to raise the income eligibility limit?
Certainly. I think the 300% provides more options for more parents. I don't think your income should dictate. Higher income parents now already have all the options that they want. We don't see why that should be limited to just people of means. We believe everybody should have those options at their disposal.
30 seconds. Betsy, what do you want to see happen to the voucher program?
Well, we believe public schools are the best investment of taxpayers' money for our schools, and they're accountable to our communities. And we don't want them our public schools abandoned for an unaccountable private system. So really what we want, we want a reinvestment in our community public schools. We want to keep vouchers out. We want no expansion of the voucher program.
All right. Thanks to both of you very much for being with us. Betsy Kippers, president of WEAC, and Jim Bender, president of School Choice Wisconsin. You can continue voting online. We have a poll online at wpr.org/joy. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.